gentlemen, after 18 glorious weeks of study in 2 Timothy via Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins, this is a moment we have all been waiting for. I've been anticipating this for 18 weeks we've been working on this show. 18 weeks we've been working on this book of the scriptures. That's almost 5 months by my calculation. But in the studio right now, I have the author, yes, the very author of The Church in Ruins, Clyde Pilkington. Clyde, it's great to have you on the Martin Zunder Show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Martin.
And thanks for letting me borrow your house and your for the studio.
Sure. We love having you here.
I'm thrilled to be here. This book, I read this in one sitting on an airplane. I forget where I was going. I think I was heading out to the West Coast, and I was reading The Church in Ruins, and I was glued to it because you bring out so many points in this book that you don't ordinarily hear. I think the biggest thing that hit me was the fact that Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts. And we're always thinking of lust in terms of sexual lust, earthly desire. But the thrust of this entire book, your book and the book of 2 Timothy, is it's a religious context. And this book really changed the way I think. Well, really, it confirmed the way I've always thought about things, but it really took it to the next level. The book of 2 Timothy was huge to me in my development. That's the book that launched me, that gave me the courage to embark on this teaching path, which began on October 1st, 93. What was the catalyst? What drove you? Because I know you're driven to write things. You just don't sit down and decide to write a book. You're driven to write things. What drove you to write a book about 2 Timothy?
Well, I'll tell you, Martin, 2 Timothy actually not only changed my life, but probably saved it and gave me sanity and direction, probably more than any other book in the Bible. It's the one that just defined things for me. Maybe most of your listeners might know that I was a pastor, and I pastored for 15 years. The whole time that I was a pastor, I had this passion for truth. I mean, I've been studying the Bible very aggressively since I was a teenager. And I looked around me, couldn't see anything that looked like in the religious system, all the denominations. I couldn't see anything that looked like it matched anything I recognized in the scriptures. And so I started my own church.
That's a way to do it.
And for 15 years, I attempted to pastor this church and try to learn and find out about the truth and see if I couldn't pattern a church after what I saw in the scriptures. And after 15 years, I realized it was futile. I realized that this was going nowhere. I realized it dawned on me one day, and it so laid on my heart, this thing that dawned on me, that I had to end up resigning from the very church that I began. And it was this. I realized that I had a church and that God had an ecclesia. And I had a name for mine, and he had a name for his. Mm. And I had a document that we went by, articles of faith and constitution and bylaws, and he had one. It was called the scriptures. And I realized he had members in his church, and I had members in mine. I realized I was in competition with God. And I realized that what I was doing was simply following a pattern that had been laid out before me, not by God, not by Paul, not by the scriptures, but by the system of religion. And I tell you what, I realized I was playing a game. I realized I was going through motions. I ended up resigning from that very church that I had started.
That is so bold. Most people can't come to that realization and do something about it.
Oh.
They're afraid of it. You went right through that wall, and I know it must have felt like a wall to you.
Oh, it was. It was. Let me tell you. And it wasn't something that was done quickly, but it was something that was done that would just grieve my heart. I mean, the hardest day for me of the week was Saturday, because Sunday was the next day, and my heart would just grieve about all of this. You see, the religious system's an imitation. It's set up, and it's pawned off as the ecclesia, and it's not. They have stolen our identity. you talk about identity theft. Identity theft is old. It's really old. And as far as the body of Christ concerned, it's 2,000 years old that our identity was stolen by a system. And people gravitate to that system. I'm amazed that people even who know the truth gravitate to that system. They're a part of it. They're members of it. They attend it. They find fellowship, so-called, in this system. And I came to a place I just couldn't do it anymore. It made me sick. And so I left that system. I resigned and left. I didn't know where I was going then. I still had a love for God. I still had a passion for His truth, but I couldn't see how it would be conducted outside of that system. I was born and raised in that system. I mean, I was there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, yeah. every Wednesday night, all the activities. I had all the pins that showed, you know, not missing a Sunday year after year after year. And then all of a sudden I stopped. 35 years later, 35 years of doing the same routine, and I was lost. I'll tell you, I was lost. I didn't know where I was going to go next. I knew I was called. I knew God had a plan in my life, but I couldn't see how it would operate outside of that system. And eventually, it was a long course, but eventually it was 2 Timothy that God used to get a hold of me. And now looking back in hindsight, I think, well, why not? I mean, it's Paul's last letter. Paul sums things up, and he sums things up after something had happened. In 1 Timothy, he talks about the structure of the ecclesia. He talks about how it functions, and it talks about gifts that were given to it, and order and design. And when you get to 2 Timothy, he's talking about being alone, and he's talking instead to a group. He's talking to an individual, and he's saying, purge yourself from something, you know, and it just began to dawn on me that believers have been caught up in Christianity, thinking that they're honoring God there, when in fact it's the imitation. It's the satanic substitute. Back in Israel, during their wandering in the wilderness of the tabernacle, God set up a tabernacle, which was the true thing. And lo and behold, if there wasn't a second tabernacle in the wilderness.
Yes, the sons of Korah put it up.
They did.
Yeah.
And they drew people to themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, Christianity is the false tabernacle of our day. It's the false system of our day. No matter how much a little bit of the message they have, no matter how much, you know, they might say a sentence right here and there, and then they negate it. They retract.
They do. They
it.
Actually do. That makes it even more deceptive.
Oh, and people will turn on the radio and hear a radio preacher and say, oh man, was that a great message. It was a great message because he was on the right verse at the right time. The next time he will negate that information.
Wow.
It's an evil, deceptive system that God has called us to come out of. And I began to realize that Paul presented a picture of merely a foundation that we are a part of. In contrast to that, but he says, he starts off in contrast, but there's this great house. And in this great house, you know, and the body of Christ never been from worldly terms a great anything.
Yeah.
But there's this great house, and there's these vessels of honor and dishonor in him. And then he comes and he says, therefore, I had always read that we were purging ourselves from the dishonorable. And in fact, it's that mixed multitude. All through the Old Testament, it was the mixed multitude who was the enemy of God. It was that mixture. And it's still that way today, the mixed multitude. And Christianity is that mixed multitude. We've got to see Christianity for what it is. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. We have great men of the past have testified to this. You know, we read a quote the other day by Sir Robert Anderson testifying that the church, quote, the church, not the ecclesia, not God's the body of Christ, but the church, Christianity's evil imposter, it's the enemy. Bullinger spoke to this effect. Many others spoke to the effect that this is actually the enemy. It's disguised as the friend. They're the ministers of righteousness, and it's the right. It's self righteousness. It is righteousness that's fabricated. It's a righteousness beyond anything that looks like the righteousness of God. It creates standards and forms that have nothing to do with what is right in the sight of God. And so 2 Timothy, I began to realize, wow, you know what? It's not about starting starting something, starting an organization. It's not about joining an organization. It's not about, it's about individuals getting a hold of the truth, or the truth getting a hold of them, studying it, learning it, showing themselves approved to God. It's on an individual basis. Is fellowship with other members of the body of Christ important? Absolutely. But we do it as our calling has directed, as outsiders. We know that the ecclesia, two words, you know, called out,
right.
Called out. Well, when you're called out, you're on the outside. You're not on the inside.
We're on the outside.
You know, and there's something respectable about Christianity. There's something honorable about Christianity. There's something stable about Christianity, all from the world's viewpoint. It all looks great, you know, and when people meet up with people and they want to know about their faith, they want to know, where do you go to church?
Yep, you know, it's first thing they want to know.
They want to know what denomination you're a part of. They want to know, and if you're a teacher, they want to know, where did you go to school? Where did you go to seminary? See, because it's all about respect and prestige and honor. And the fact is, the outsiders, we've been called out. We're the folks always on the outside. You know, we're never respected. We're never honored. And God's called us to a place of ministry. Your ministry, my ministry, anybody's ministry who is ministering in the ecclesia is a despised ministry. It's a rejected, has no honor, no reputation, no respect. And we're following the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way his ministry was.
Yep.
And not only the Lord Jesus Christ ministry as we read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but as we read the ascended, glorified, enthroned Lord Jesus Christ far up above all the celestials, who revealed his message to the body of Christ through Paul, and we follow Paul. It's a ministry of shame. He had a ministry of glory. He had a ministry of reputation and respect, and he counted it all dung, or he counted it all waste. He said, that means nothing to me anymore. And he joined in on the sufferings of Christ. He became a partaker of the outcast one, the one who outside the city of Jerusalem died. He was outside the camp. We're outside the camp. We're the outsiders.
No wonder we're surrounded by so few people. And yet Paul had a glorious ministry, and yet he was met with defamation, as you say, at every turn. And he was the one who saw this development of the imitation. He witnessed it in its infancy. But even in his day, the imitation began to rise. And as you're speaking about this imitation, it's so hard for people to believe who look at the glory, the outward glory of the institution today, and the acceptance that it has, and the television shows, and all the money. It is so human, so utterly human, to see all this and to think this is the greatest thing going. And Christianity believes that this is a mark of God's approval when you see all the money that's thrown into this system, when you see all the fame, all the glory, and yet it's just the opposite, isn't it? And that's what we're learning in 2 Timothy. Paul is really straining to tell us this, that something false has come, and now the only way to grab onto it is to gather with those of a common spirit and a common bond, and they will be found outside the institution.
Oh, they will. They will. And thank God for our day. You know, we live on the outside, but thankful to our day with internet, we can find each other.
And I was just talking about how great the internet was just a couple shows ago, how Paul would have really taken advantage of this. Of this way to be with people and not physically have to be with them. And we have people over here all the time, and you know how it is. Or even when we travel to conferences, which we're going to in a few hours here, we're taking off for New York, but we meet folks in the body of Christ, some of them we've never laid eyes on before, and there is an instant rapport. They get you. They're thinking the same thoughts. They know the same Lord. And they, too, are outsiders. And there's something so intimate about gathering with the people who aren't accepted anywhere else.
Oh, absolutely.
And that hurts to not be accepted. You know it.
Yep.
I know it.
Right.
And a lot of people listening to us know it. So we're going out of our way today. We're driving 5 hours to be with people who also feel that they're not accepted.
Oh, absolutely.
In the mainstream institution. And I'm telling you, for those of you who have been with us for 18 weeks, I've enjoyed going through this. I'm privileged, honored to have the author of this book sitting at the desk with me. You can order this at studyshelf.com. You have a great website. Clyde. That's called The Church in Ruins, Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's Last Letter to the Church. These thoughts might be brief, but they are profound. And folks, if any of you out there are hurting, if you're alone, if you feel like the institution has forsaken you, it has. But there is recourse for you. There is a body of believers that is held together by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And one of the best books you can read to gather around is 2 Timothy. And one of the best commentaries on 2 Timothy is The Church in Ruins. Clyde, thanks for joining me in the studio today. I'm going to look forward to being in the van with you for the next 5 hours and to doing this conference in New York.
Oh, thank you, Martin. I love you.
Love you, too.